Chapter 41.
Ho, the good old Abbey! Any beast home? Redwall!
Mrs. Faith Spinney jumped up and down like a fat little jack-in-the-box on the north ramparts, peering across the battlements each time a leap carried her that high.
Stickle my old spikes! It's Mr. Throg! Bless him, it's Mr. Throg!
Throg Ann leaned on the parapet, shaking her head.
Oh, it's that harum-scarum brother of mine. I could tell that if he were 2 country leagues away. Ahoy there, trouble! What took you so long? And who are all those angry-looking birds?
Looking very much the returning hero, Throg strode jauntily up the road, wearing a cap he had taken from a fighting weasel who had picked on the wrong otter. In the cap was a splendid falcon feather. Throg swept it off and bowed low, grinning like a mole at a picnic.
Good afternoon, dear ladies. Meet me mates, Rockangus, Tambeak, Wingoy, and Rantaclaw. I trust you're all well in shipshape.
Mrs. Spinney was overjoyed. Throg Ann opened the gates impassively.
You look like a roving river dog in that hat, Throg Otter.
Flourishing the hat elegantly, Throg kissed his sister's paws affectionately, declaiming aloud, tongue-in-cheek, to the whole of Redwall.
You was never out of my thoughts, sister dear. And all the time I was freezing in the mountains, battling crows and living lower than a lame toad, there was one question that I made me way back here to ask you.
Throg Ann sniffed slightly, and wiping her eyes on her tunic, she asked in an apologetically tender voice,
What was that, brother of mine?
What's for tea? Me and me mates is fair famished.
The 4 falcons joined the crowd of Redwallers who had flooded out to greet them, laughing uproariously as they watched Throg fleeing across the abbey grounds with Throg Ann hard on his heels, swinging a twig broom.
You battle-nosed rogue! I'll give you tea. You'll get a taste of this when I catch up with you.
Later that day, Abbess Vale watched fondly as Throg dandled baby Dumble on his knee while he ploughed his way through a buffet tea-time meal specially set up on the gatehouse steps for him and his 4 falcon guests. Baby Dumble told the most atrocious lies about his epic flight in the haversack, how he had rescued the eagle from some far bigger birds, and how he had pushed Macpherson's wings up and down to keep him flying when he was weary. Throg and the 4 falcons tried their level best to keep straight faces. Dumble glared suspiciously about at them.
Ugh, you're no laughing at the bunny Dumble, are ye?
He had begun affecting a smattering of Northland into his speech. The Wild King Macpherson perched on his favourite log in the orchard, nodding his approval as the falcons circled above, dipping their wings in tribute to him.
Aye, they're a grand bunch of laddies, nae doot.
As evening drew on, Dumble was carried off snoring to his bed by Throg Ann. Throg sat relaxing with a flagon of October ale, glad to be back safe in his beloved abbey. A deputation of Redwallers attended as Tud Spinney presented the otter with a specially carved bowl and spoon of applewood. The old hedgehog twirled his stick awkwardly as he made the presentation speech.
Oh, dearie me, I'm not much at words, but this is a little gift from us all to you, Throg. Redwall owes its life to you. It's all carved pretty-like with your name and so on, and Friar Bellows says as he'll fill it with shrimp and bulrush hot root soup any time he pleases. So, it is, and thank you.
3 rousing cheers went up for Throg. He hid his head with embarrassment, placing the bowl over his blushing face.
Thank ye, mateys. Thank ye kindly. But 'twern't nothing. You'd have did the same for me, and I knows it.
Late that night, they all sat together in the orchard around a small fire. The summer was drawing to a close, and nights were getting chilly. Brother Hollyberry held out his mug for more hot spiced cider, and Formal filled it from a big black kettle, eyeing the laden apple trees as he did.
Brr, 'twill soon be time for harvesting. The apples to make a nice dropper cider for next summertide.
Hollyberry blew on the steaming drink and sipped reflectively.
Aye, the seasons turn and the fruit ripens well, old friend. Oh, dear me, I wish that young Sam Kim and Arula were back with us. I do miss those 2 scamps.
Formal poured himself a mug of the hot spice cider.
"You'm right there, Sir Berryolly. 'Tis not fitten for a young moley maid to be gone so long. Purr, no taint."
Sister Nasturtium had been sitting staring long into the flames. In the silence that followed, she sang,
"Bring me back a squirrel, carrying my blade. Bring me back a little mole, a pretty fair young maid. Bring me back a speedy one, with hunger and long ears, and a red wool guardian to watch us through the years.